Blog Talk Radio.
Now I am free.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
For I was to die for. For I was to die for.
Love that song. You thought I was worth to die for. That's awesome. When nobody else wouldn't even give you a slice of bread, wouldn't give you their chair, wouldn't give you their house. But you know, Jesus thought you was worth dying for. Woo, that's powerful. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God, draw the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. I just want to thank each and every one of you all for being there. I'm excited about the Word of God. I'm excited about what God is doing right now in His Word and in such a time as this. Hey, I'm just asking you all to just get ready. We'll do a little Thankful Thursday. But I really want to get back into this lesson, and but you know, we just want to be obedient to the Spirit of God. And if you are one of those that may have something you want to share, you're thankful for something, this is Thankful Thursday. We want you to press one, and we're gonna let you in. Hallelujah. You one of those that want to participate? Press one. In the lesson, hallelujah. But we're going to have a little short word of prayer. Father God, we come with thanksgiving in our heart. Your word says for us to rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. For this is the will of yours. It's your will in Christ Jesus concerning us. So I thank you, Father God. We refuse to quench the spirit. Hallelujah. We refuse, Father God, to despise prophecy. We refuse, Father God, to allow the enemy to take any parts of us because we're under your control. We declare and decree that right now. And your word says in everything, give thanks. So I thank you, Father God, for every organ, for every tissue in our bodies that are functioning like they're supposed to function. I thank you, Father God, for your word, because it's in your word, Father God, that we know who we are and know whose we are. We thank you, Father God, for manifesting yourself in us, causing us to grow, causing us to be what you want us to be. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for making our spirit strong. My heart beats with your life in it. I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, for my heart is not my heart, but is your heart. I thank you. I thank you, Father God, for being the God that you are, one who bared our sickness and carried our pains to the cross. I thank you for it. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for taking sickness away from our mind and from our thought process, that by your stripes we are healed. We believe in miracles and healing, Father God. We believe that there is a past and there is a now and there is a future. And right now, Father God, we live with faith. I thank you. Thank you for your promises, Father God. I thank you that your promises is yea, yea. And with that being said, Father God, I thank you for being a prayer-hearing God. I confess your word as being the authority over our body. I confess your word as being the authority over this broadcast. And I pray right now, Heavenly Father, that they will continue, those that have not made that decision, that they will make that decision to be redeemed by you, redeemed from the curse of the law, redeemed from the things of this world. I thank you for it. And ask you, Father God, to continue allowing our ears to be open to truth and forgiving us of all the things that you've forgiven us. And we ask these and all blessings in Christ's name. And everybody agreed with this prayer. They said amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, we got this thing up now. Praise God. Hallelujah. We got it up. Okay, this is Thankful Thursday. Anyone have something you want to be thankful for? You want to share what you're thankful for? Now's the opportunity to go for it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
Good afternoon, everyone, and good morning. Amen. Thanking God for his word. Thanking Pastor for that song, worth or worthy, and also for the prayer. Amen. And the scripture I want to be thankful for is our subject coming from our lesson, coming from Colossians 2, and verse says, look like that probably should start with verse 12. So I'll be reading it from the King James and also from the New Living Translation. It says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven all our trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross and having full principalities and powers. Praise God. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Amen. What a word. And then,
amen.
To me, it just really brings it out in this New Living Translation. It says, for you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities, he shamed them publicly by victory over them on the cross. Amen, amen.
Amen.
I'm so thankful that, you know, Jesus did all that for us. Amen. That's just in verse where it says, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And then that 14th verse says in the New Living says he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. So we're clean. We've been set free. And
yes.
So we no longer have to be under bondage.
Yes.
We're free in the Lord now.
Yes.
So
yes.
I just thank God for his word. Amen. And that 15th verse says, in this way he disarmed the spiritual rulers. So, you know, we're in a spiritual warfare here, but that's been disarmed. And the authorities, they say he shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. So, see, he took care of all that. So we, like I said, we no longer have to be bound down and thinking we ain't good enough or God hasn't forgiven us. It tells us right there all that. He nailed all that to the cross, so we've been set free. So praise God.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Anyone else? Thank you so much, Pastor. Anyone else? Anybody want to piggyback on what she was talking about? Maybe she said something that touched you. You want to speak on it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Anyone else?
God is good.
Amen. Amen. Well, he got rid of that old DNA.
Like that.
That I can tell you. He got rid of the spot. When he blotted it out, he deleted it. He got rid of that. Now, you can walk around and keep it, and you can hold to it. That's on you. But as far as God is concerned, Jesus took care of all of your sin issues. And if you got sin issues, it's because you're wrestling with that. Except the fact that God made Jesus to be your sin. And stop trying to make sin bigger than God. And it doesn't matter if you understand it or not. Just don't decree it anymore in your life. Stop it. Let God's righteousness rule and decree and declare that. Just like you're saying sin is here, well, you can say God's righteousness over me. Your confession is important, brothers and sisters. What comes out of your mouth? It ain't what goes in. It's what comes out that defile the body. Don't make me go to the word on you. What comes out that defiles the body. Don't worry about what's going in.
Amen.
Yeah, see, some people, they're worried about what's on them, what's out. No, worry about what's coming out of you.
Mm-hmm.
Not what goes
Amen.
In, but what comes out.
Amen.
On anyone else, before we get into the lesson, because, boy, y'all know I'm just, I just want to go there. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Promise I want to go there. Yes, sir.
Amen, amen. So, Pastor, read that from the Message Bible, and then we'll turn it back to you from the Message Bible. Colossians 12 through 15 reads, going under the water was a burial of your old life. Coming up out of it was a resurrection. God raising you from the dead as he did Christ. When you were stuck in your old sin dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive right along with Christ. Think of it. All sins forgiven, the slate wiped clean, that old arrest warrant canceled and nailed to the cross. I'm sorry, nailed to Christ's cross. He stripped all the spiritual trance in the universe of their shame, authority at the cross, and marched them naked through the street. Amen. Once again, it said all that's been canceled out. Amen. Amen.
So do that mean he's forgiven us?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Huh? Yeah. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah.
That's what you're telling me, Pastor.
Yes, that's what I'm telling you.
I don't have a sin problem, Pastor. You're telling me that stain of sin that was on, that's gone, Pastor. That's what you're telling me.
That's gone. That's gone. It was nailed to the cross. It's
nailed to the
it's
cross.
Away.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
So I can believe that.
Yes, that's right.
Hallelujah.
That's the word. Amen.
Oh, thank God. Thank God I got a new DNA. I just keep thinking about that.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
I got a new DNA and a RNA. Hallelujah.
Okay. Go ahead on. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Evangelist Renee. Let me get Evangelist Renee right quick. And anybody else, just press one. Evangelist Renee.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
This yesterday, Pastor, you was talking about. Pastor Bell. We were talking about, me and her was talking about when we were in the building.
Yes.
On Main Street. For some reason, after service, I went up to her and I was like, sis, I feel like the church is inside of me. It's not in this building.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. The church, Amen. Church is inside of me. I mean,
Amen.
I'm serving God. And, She didn't really respond to it because we went from Main Street to the Niagara Falls in another building. And the Lord was working on her. The Lord was working on her. And thank you, Jesus. She came out that building. She said, no, this ain't where it's supposed to be. So I thank God, you know, all the times we have went through, good, bad, ugly. I love my sister. She's always been there for me.
Love you.
Amen.
Amen. God. Amen. Amen. Yeah. God
Amen.
Did a
Thank
work.
You so much.
He did a work on me. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
He was saying,
God
it
has a
it
way.
Wasn't easy.
God has a way of doing Romans 8:28. He works all things together for our good. It was for your good. And that's another thing, brother and sister. You got to start thinking like that, living like that. Whatever going on, well, praise God, it's for my good. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Don't understand it? Don't have to understand it. It's for my good.
Yeah.
See, God knows what's at the end of the road. You may not know what's at the end of the road, but he knows what's at the end of the road, and he have to take you that route. He takes you a certain place. Like she just said, I took you to Main Street. And, but what's the other street? You said Cuyahoga. What did you say?
Cuyahoga Falls Avenue.
Cuyahoga Falls. Mm-hmm. God takes you that way because you didn't know you were going to end up here because you didn't see it, but God knew it.
Right.
That's why it's so important that we be obedient to God.
Amen.
Like
she
Amen.
Said, you know, Pastor may not heard it because she needed to hear it from God. See, a lot of times people say things and they don't resonate with us. But when God, and that's another reason, too, we need to go to God with some stuff. Lord, I told her, but she ain't hearing me. I need you to whisper in her ear. Lord, I know you can get her attention. I can get her attention, but you can. See, a lot of times there are people that we want God to move in their life, and we there trying to tell them, you probably got some children. You may have some grandchildren. I don't know. You may have a loved one. You may have a mate, whatever. They won't listen to you, especially you men. Let me tell you right now, y'all know these women don't listen to us. No way. I'm just talking to the men right now. So sometimes we better off just go to God and tell God, look, tell her what I'm trying to explain. Let her know what I'm talking about. See, a lot of times you got to let the Holy Ghost talk to folks.
All right.
So you said it, and to you it made a lot of sense, but it hadn't reached that point with other folks yet. I mean, I'd be on here every day. Evangelist Sharon told me just yesterday. She texted me. She told me, she said, you keep on teaching the truth, Pastor. Man, y'all don't know what that is. Because you know what?
Yeah.
You got to know the truth. You got to know the truth. And so that's why I want to get back into this message about tradition. That's one of the things that hinders the body of Christ. That's one of the ways that can spoil a Christian.
It's
tradition. Over in Mark, let somebody else, y'all need to, or they say, I need to take the bridle off of it. That's, you know, when a horse take the bridle off and let it go. I'm ready to go. Anybody else? If not, we're going to the scripture, Mark 7, and I forget how many verses we did, but we're going back to Mark 7, and we'll go from the third verse to probably the third verse. I will read them all from the 3rd to the 19th. We got time. Hallelujah. Ain't nobody rushing up.
Amen.
Evangelist William, please. Could you read Mark 7, some of the 3rd verse through the 13th verse?
Mark 7, 3 through 13. For the Pharisees and all the Jews except who wash their hands of eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash their hands, they eat not, and many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, basins, vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? He answered and he said unto them, Well, have Esau prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, these people unearth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of man. For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the tradition of man as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such things, such like things you do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandments of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curses father or mother, let him die the death. But ye said, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that it is to a good book, whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye shall suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Amen.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
Praise God. And from the Message Bible, the Pharisees, Jews in general, in fact, would never eat a meal without going through the motions of a ritual hand washing with its especially vigorous scrubbing. If they had just come from the market, so say nothing of the scorching they fear jugs and pots and pans. The Pharisees and religious scholars ask, why do your disciples flaunt the rules, showing up at meals without washing their hands? Jesus answered, Isaiah was right about frauds like you. Hit the bull's eye, in fact. These people make a big show of saying the right thing, but their heart isn't in it. They act like they are worshiping me, but they don't mean it. They just use me as a cover for teaching whatever suits their fantasy. Ditching God's command and taking up the latest fad. He went on, well, good for you. You get rid of God's command so you won't be inconvenient in following the religious fashion. Moses said, respect your father and mother, and anyone denouncing father or mother should be killed. But you weasel out of that by saying that it's perfectly acceptable to say to father or mother, give what I owe you, I've given as a gift to God, thus relieving yourselves of obligation to father or mother. You scratch out God's words and scrawl a whim in its place. You do a lot of things like this. Jesus called the crowd together again and said, listen now, all of you, take this to heart. It's not what you swallow that pollutes your life. It's what you vomit. That's the real pollution. When he was back home after being with the crowd, his disciples said, we don't get it. Put it in plain language. Jesus said, are you being willfully stupid? Don't you see that what you swallow can't contaminate you? It doesn't enter your heart, but your stomach. works its way through the intestine and is finally flushed. That took care of dietary quibbling. Jesus was saying that all foods are fit to eat. Amen.
Amen.
You stop at the 13th, Pastor?
Oh, no, I'm so sorry, Pastor. I went on to the 19th. I apologize.
Okay. I'm trying to find you.
I thought that's
okay.
What you said. I'm sorry.
No problem. Yeah. No problem. We went to the 13th. It's so much to unpack here. The Pharisees and all the Jews was trying to find something to find fault with Jesus. But Jesus had already told them that Isaiah was right in the prophecy, how he had prophesied that they were hypocrites, as it is written. So these people honor me with their lips, but see, their spirit is far from. So I see that today. Open your eyes, people. I know y'all can see that. You see how people, that's what we left off yesterday, talking about how people hold to tradition. And let me say this about tradition, and I'll move on. Tradition, there's a couple of ways I could explain it, but I want to try to explain the most simplest way. A tradition is a belief or behavior of something that's been passed down. Something been passed down within, say, the group or the family or the society or the church or the organization. It's stuff that's been passed down. And it may have some significance to them being it, but it's not necessarily, or it doesn't necessarily have no significance now, especially when you're going to hold it against the Word of God. And that's what they were doing. They was trying to hold the past, or they was making excuses for doing what they wanted to do. They just wanted to get out of doing God's will. Like people today, they do this stuff for a show, man. I'll be honest with you.
Amen.
They do it for a show. And if you'll be honest with yourself, they do it for a show. So tradition.
Yeah.
We're going to just talk about tradition a little bit today. I know it's Thankful Thursday, and we can really get into it tomorrow. But tradition, I'm on a couple of things with tradition. Or matter of fact, I'll let you all hit on a couple before I hit on it. So anybody want to talk a little bit about tradition? See, tradition is, like I said, you know, that's some kind of custom, something been passed down from generation to generation, some kind of fact that they have made their way, like a religious law, a lot of things people do traditionally. And if you can think of anything in the Bible that they did traditionally, please come forth. See, that's what he's saying in the 7th chapter of the book of Mark here. They was holding tradition over the Word of God, and they made the Word of God of no effect. So when you're going to put the Word of God, put your tradition over the Word of God, oh, you got problems with God. You've got problems with God. And when you want to say, well, the elders say we do it like this, God don't care nothing about that. Well, you know, you're supposed to wash your hands. Well, okay, Jesus, that's the way y'all, this game y'all want to play? Why is y'all not doing what God told y'all to do? He told you to honor your mother and father, that your days may be long.
Yeah.
But then you turn around and say, we're a blessing to my mom and my daddy. We didn't have to come here. See, anything to wiggle out of the truth. Like people today, I talk to people all the time, and they want to talk about, well, what's wrong with going to church? I said, first of all, God ain't told you to go. That's first of all. Secondly, he told you to be the church. Not go to church, but be the church. And
Amen.
Then thirdly, stop being traditional. That's what got the church messed up. Then do what God told you to do. Matthew 28. Mm-hmm. Go ye therefore into all the world. I don't care where it's at. Goodwill, Kroger's, Walmart. Go somewhere and share and witness God's word.
Amen.
But because it's not fashionable, we don't want to do that. We don't want to really do what the word of God says. We'd rather go and tell them, here comes some tradition. Hey, come on to our church. See, rather than us mm-hmm. witnessing, oh, let my preacher talk to you. No. You talk to them. You tell them what the word. Mm-hmm. Get the Bible. Study.
Yeah.
Find your few scripture. If it ain't that, but you know what? Hey, we studying this right here. What you think about that? I mean, you can get people mm-hmm. to engage in conversation quicker than you think, especially when it comes to the Bible.
Okay.
But what happens is people got to be made alive. Their spirit is dead through tradition. Hey, come to our church. I thought it was Christ Church.
Yeah.
See, that's what tradition does. They don't forget that it's Christ Church. Then it made it their church. So therefore, they can do what they want to do. Tradition. Certain places they can see. Sit down. Tradition. You know what?
Amen.
You better not walk on that pulpit. Go up there if you want to.
Amen.
They'll tell you. No, they won't ask you. They'll tell the police or the ushers or security, come and take your butt off them up there. That's what they'll do. Real plain and simple.
Mm-hmm.
You can say, well, amen. I want to sit up here next to you, Pastor. Try it.
All right.
Yes. Tradition. And when it comes to prayer, you know, I'm going to say this stuff to help you. I'm going to say this to help you, not to hurt you, but to help you. When it comes to prayer, why you ask God to come? He already here. Let me ask you, God, to come nowhere.
All right.
God, come
All
on
right.
down. Lord, be with me. See, those are just, Peter said, those are vain words. He said, you forgot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in 1 Peter mm-hmm. 1, remember, he said, he reminded them, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed of corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, he said, you received that by your tradition from your fathers. So a lot of people, when they pray, they're doing what they heard somebody else say. Vain.
Mm-hmm.
And they got it through tradition. Read it. They got it through tradition. So asking God.
Mm-hmm.
No, God is already with you. Remember John 15:7, abide in me and I abide in you. Well, if you living in him and he living in you, why are you going to ask him to come? Vain. That's just vain conversation. Don't have no validity, no substance. Don't have nothing to it. Just vain stuff. Just speaking. Just saying stuff to be saying stuff. Vain. That empty. Pointless. Pointless.
Amen.
Don't mean a word. Don't mean a word of it. When you pray, well, we're going to have to get into that one day. Because see, a lot of people think they're conning God by using big words, eloquent words. No, you ain't conning God.
mm-hmm.
And then you're going to say, right. Well, Lord, will you do this and do that? God already, Lord, I need you. Why you need God?
Mm-hmm.
Let me meet some folks, man. Why are you telling God you need him? See, that's what tradition does. You don't need God. If you got him, you don't need him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Well, all right now.
Amen.
Huh? If you got him, why are you asking him, Lord, I need you? You got him. See, that's a vain conversation tradition teach you to say. No, David won't say that. David would never say that. He would never say that.
Mm-hmm.
He would say, the Lord is with me. He would say, the Lord is my shepherd. And he'll say, I shall not want. See the difference in the prayer? I don't want for anything. Why are you begging God? You don't want for anything. He with you.
At all times. Amen.
Yeah. You see what tradition does? You see how it hurts the body of Christ? You see how it stunts your growth? You asking God. God looking at you like you stupid. Asking God to come and be with you, and he already in the car with you. It's just like Pastor said to me, she's saying, and I just gave her $500. And she's saying, Pastor, give me $500. I just gave it to you. Pastor, give me $500. I'm giving it to you. It's right there. Lord, will you do this? He said, like for instance, this is people pray. Y'all need to listen to how these people pray to God. God told me, he said, don't you never beg me or ask me for nothing. The earth is mine and the fullness thereof. I got 10,000 cows on the hillside. And what I have, you have.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
We have we are a joint heir. Do I need to get the paper on you guys? We are joint heirs. If Evangelist William and I have a checking account and together we got a joint account. She put $2 in it and I put $200,000. Evangelist William can use the whole $200,000.
Amen.
She go write a check for all of us. So if God have given us everything pertaining to godliness, he's given us everything. What you got a need for? No, I tell you what it is. We haven't received. See, the Bible says as many as receive him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. People just hadn't received what God already did. They want to be traditional. They want to be religious. They want to, you know, just, I just listen to people pray. I laugh at it. What more you want God to do for you? He gave you his son. And anything else, just learn to thank him. And if you believe that he's with you, and in you, he know your heart and he know your desire, then, hey, don't get an enemy in the room. Hey, thank you, Lord. Your word has declared that I'm a son. I'm your son. I'm your temple. You're in me. I'm walking with the Lord in the spirit. I don't need to ask him for anything. I need to thank him for everything.
Thank you, Lord.
Don't ask me. Just start thinking. Anytime your heart, God already, he said, you know what? I'm going to answer you before you ask. Woo!
Amen.
He said, I'm going to answer you before you ask me.
Amen. Amen.
So if he hadn't answered, it may be because you don't need it.
Amen.
All right now.
You can't forget. You've been redeemed from that curse. That's a curse, brothers and sisters.
Thank
God
you,
has
Lord.
Set you free.
Yes.
You are more than conquerors. You are more than conquerors through Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
Matter of fact, Pastor just read that, I think, Evangelist Williams. She just read that, too. We're alive with God now. If we're alive together with him and we seated at the right-hand side, and why are you asking him, come on and be with me? For what? I thought y'all already together.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
You know, Evangelist Renee, I don't know, just call her name. You got a boyfriend. You gonna ask your boyfriend to be your boyfriend? Gonna ask your old man to be your old man? He already your old man. Why you asking him? Who does that? Every day. be my woman. You gonna be my woman? Be my girlfriend. and you get married. Now, let me just take it there. You marry, will you be my wife? Honey, we already married. No, no, no. Will you be my wife? Every day I'm going to ask this woman, be my wife. And we marry. Now, how stupid do that sound?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tradition. See, you get caught up in that tradition mess, then you're going to lay aside the word of God. That's what Mark 7 and 8 says. You're going to lay aside what the word of God say so you can hold to man's tradition. Because this is what man said to do. This is how you start off the prayer. Who said you start off the prayer like that? Matter of fact, the disciples didn't know how to pray, so they told Jesus, since we don't know how to pray, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples to pray. Well, they wanted to pray like John's disciples. Now, that ain't for us. Uh-oh. That ain't for us.
All right.
They wanted to pray like John. Now, if you want to know the kind of prayer we ought to pray, go to John 17, and you'll see. Yeah. Let me share this with you. Over in Mark, because I had said something yesterday, I probably need to clean that up. But in Mark, the 11th chapter, because tradition will teach you different, but the word of God, you gotta stop holding to man's tradition and wake up to the word of God. In Mark, and I could tell you the whole story, but I don't want to get into the story. But the 24th verse, if you never saw this, read it today. In the 24th verse, the 11th chapter and the 24th verse, because, you know, people say, oh, God don't give you what you desire. He just give you what you need. He take care of your need. That would be the farthest thing from the truth. Farthest thing from the truth. I tell you what it does. And matter of fact, I'm going to have evangelist William to read this. And ask pastor, just read this part. Don't have to read no other part. Just want you to read this part because I want to make a point here. Don't want to get away from this point. Mark 11:24. Read that.
Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. From the Message Bible. That's why I urge you to pray for absolutely everything, ranging from small to large. Include everything as you embrace and you'll get God's everything. Amen.
Amen.
Now, maybe I better go back over there because I think somebody might have missed the point I want to make. And here's the point I want to make. If I heard this correctly, go back to King James there for a minute, Evangelist William. Read that one more time for me, please.
Is it Mark or King James?
Mark, King James. Yeah, in the King James, Mark. 11 chapters. The one you just read. Read that again for us.
Okay. One moment. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Now, does that sound like he gonna give you what you need or what you desire?
He gonna give you what you desire.
Uh-huh. That's how you see that, Pastor?
Praise God. Amen.
Yes.
But see, traditionally, people have taught us, oh, God won't give you your desire of your heart. He won't do that. He just give you what you need. How many times you've heard people tell that lie? Your desire is what you thirsting for, what you got appetite for, what you longing for, what you're craving for. I don't even want to go to the word of lusting for, but what you have a taste for, what you want. Mm-hmm. How about that one, huh? How about it's what you really need, your desire. He sees that.
Yeah.
And when he sees that desire, God give it to you.
Yes, yes.
And when you do see it, then you don't, God already know your heart. Because if I didn't do that, I know I'm going to be a long time. Based on the fact that you can speak it, because you go back to the next verse, you'll see, because he said therefore, and the word therefore means to go back and see what it's there for. You want to know what 24 is for? Go back to 23, and it'll explain that, why you have 24. Go back to 23. It said therefore. Therefore means to go back and see what it's there for. Well, we'll go back. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, see, that means to speak, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he say shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he say. That's what you desire. You just spoke it. Because God is in you. And you're in God. He said, whatever you'll say. And then Jesus said, just have faith in God. Just have faith in God. Trust God. Don't ask him. He said, speak it. God makes it so much like him, people have no idea. They don't even have a clue. God said, I'm going to make you just like me. Just speak it. Just like I said, let there be light that was light. I said, let the light be separated from the darkness. So I said, just speak it. Go on and speak it. Tell that mountain to get out your way.
Yeah. Amen.
So when you start talking to God about it, guess what you're doing? You're thanking him for it. Lord, thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, because I told that mountain to get out my way. I told that devil to leave my children alone. I told the enemy to get under my feet. See, when you start speaking that stuff, then you turn around and your prayer is like this, Lord, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. See, you'll spend more time thanking God than begging God. You'll spend more time casting stuff into the sea than doubting stuff.
Amen.
See, a lot of people's prayers it's almost like doubt. It's almost like doubt. It's like they doubting if God's going to do it. So the Bible said, therefore, so just go back and see what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Just go right back and he'll tell you that you can get your desires. You know why? Because you just spoke it. You wanted the mountain to be moved, whatever that mountain is now. Let me be clear.
Because
I know, people ask God to let their neighbor move. God get rid of them.
Mm-hmm. I would like to say on pertaining to verse 24, therefore I say unto you what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and you shall have them. The non-believer or the believer has doubt when it doesn't come at their time. They need to learn patience and let God deliver it at his time. That will erase the doubt that he is there and he hears your prayers and he answers. But he answers them at his time.
All right. Amen.
Let me say this. Somebody go back and read 23 for me, Evangelist William.
For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto his mountain, unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith.
Okay. Now I want everybody to understand this. For verily I say unto you, now you got to take this person, that whosoever, it doesn't matter if you in somebody's church or not. Doesn't matter if you're a believer or not. Doesn't have any bearing on it. It says that whosoever. So, okay, who's a whosoever? A whosoever will say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt. That's who's a whosoever, the one that won't doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which, not what God said now. I want y'all to catch this. Not what God said. Having nothing to do with God. God got himself out of the equation. If you read this, that's what it says. And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass. He's going to have whatsoever he say. Not what God say for him, but whatsoever he say. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. The issue here is learn to believe that you receive it. You already got it. So if you believe that you already got it, guess what the next step is? Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Pastor, will you send me a pair? Will you send me a pair of 9 and a half or 9 shoes? I want the slippers, if you would. Man, get them black. Make them black. And here's my address. Send them to me. Now, if I believe you sending them to me,
I
guess what I said?
Them.
I said, thank you. That's what you say. Mm-hmm. So now you go back to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. So you don't have to ask God. Guess what? You just spoke it. See, God wants us to be much like him, but tradition have kept us from being like God. Sin, that sin conscience have made us depend on other things other than what the Word of God say. We like to hold on to man's stuff, tradition, then letting God's Word be free. If God said you can have it, who am I to tell you you can't have it? If God said you can have the desires of your heart, God don't even put himself in the way of it. He said, if you desire it, you can have it. And it can be at your time. Well, what time is that? I'm glad you asked. Whenever you say it and not doubt it, but believe what came out of your mouth, just like Jesus did with the fig tree. He saw it and he cursed that thing. And it came back 3 days later and the thing had withered away. And that's what this prayer was all about, because Jesus, he had to teach them how to pray. That's what he was doing here. Because the fig tree didn't have no fig. It recognized who Jesus was. Well, it should have recognized who. I don't care about it being no tree. I don't care about being no tree. Mm-hmm. That tree should have recognized who the Savior was. And since it didn't, he said, you're supposed to be bearing fruit here. I need a fig. And since you're not bearing, he just cursed it. And he cursed it all the way to the roots. So when the disciples came back and they saw that thing dried up from the roots, Peter called to him, and he remembered what Jesus had did. He remembered he had cursed that thing. And that rocked the world. He wanted to know, how you do that? How that happened? And then Peter remembered what Jesus had did earlier. Because they was astonished at his doctrine. See, when you start telling people the truth, they're going to be astonished at it because it's not part of their tradition. It's not what they're used to, accustomed to, you see. But anyway.
Amen.
But we'll get. Anybody else have anything to say? And thank you, Evangelist William, and thank you, Pastor, and thank you, Evangelist. Everybody spoke today, Evangelist Renee, and all the listeners. Thank y'all for being on here. But anybody have anything else they want to share?
Amen.
Okay.
Please.